This is ABC News Daily. I'm Sam Hawley. While homeowners have been slugged with an interest rate rise for the first time in more than a decade, for Australians who rent, it's bad news too. The number of rental properties available is at the lowest level in almost 20 years, and rents are soaring. Today, business reporter Daniel Ziffer on what's driving the nation's rental crisis. Dan Ziffer, just describe for me what we have been seeing across the rental market recently.
We have seen across the nation a massive housing crunch.
A shortage of properties for sale and unprecedented demand has seen house prices surge.
Rental stress is increasingly the norm, with rents at a seven-year high and vacancies at a record low.
Now, it's worse in some areas than others, but across the board, we've seen a collapse in the number of vacant properties. That's pushing up prices. So demand is so hot, supply is so low, and rents are soaring. They've shot up in the last quarter to the highest we've seen since 2015. Places are looking at 15% rises. So really huge imposts on people whose wages haven't moved anywhere like that as they rent properties amongst the third of Australians who do.
So 15%, that seems like a lot, and we're seeing that in capital cities around the country by the look of it. So in practical terms, Dan, what does that mean for the average renter? I mean, how much more are they paying?
We're seeing over time, as people end their agreements and start new ones or have to pursue new houses, which is generally the time when rents change, that say if you were paying $1,000 last year for a three-bedroom house in Brisbane, now you're looking at more like $1,200. So for a lot of people, that is a huge problem. They haven't got that extra money. And as we know, wage growth in Australia has been very slow over essentially the past decade. There are also huge problems with the expiration of schemes like the National Rental Affordability Scheme that provided a subsidy to thousands of people that essentially bridged the gap between what landlords could charge on the private market and what they would need to charge for houses to be affordable.
How long have you been in your house and why do you need to leave it?
I've been here 10 years and I need to leave because my owner sold the house.
I spoke to Veronica Silver, great-grandmother who lives just outside of Brisbane, who is having to move because the house that she's lived in for a decade, the NRAS, the kind of name of the scheme that provided that subsidy, has expired. Her landlord is selling the property.
He's had to sell a property because he's also been forced into retirement.
Six of her neighbours are in the same boat, 22 in the same suburb, as this scheme to try and make housing affordable expires. So she's going to have to move 60 k's further inland away from her family and pay $70 a week more.
It's $140 out of my pension, yes, but I don't have a choice. I'm sure there's something I can do without.
Okay, so there was a rental affordability scheme from the government, and what the government was paying some of Veronica's rent and her neighbours. That's come to an end, so now she's in a real bind because she can't afford where she was renting, she has to move, and she has to pay more rent. That doesn't sound great for Veronica or anyone else like her. How is she going to be able to afford the extra rent that she has to pay?
She has told me, bluntly, that she'll be eating less food.
What can you possibly cut out to make that work?
Food. Oh, food and internet and all that sort of thing.
There's really nothing else you can cut back on. This scheme that supported Veronica and her neighbours is very specific, but there are more broad and pressing problems nationwide about access to affordable rental.
Okay, so how many people could be in Veronica's situation? That is, they basically have to eat less so they can afford their rent now.
Well, Anglicare does probably the best data on this. They have an annual snapshot that looks at about 50,000 listings and then works out how they would be affordable for people on low incomes. Now, affordable is defined as less than 30% of your income. So only spending 30% on housing and having 70% for food and schooling and getting to work and those kind of costs that you have. For someone who's on a minimum wage, fewer than 2% of listings across the nation would be classified as affordable. For someone who is a welfare recipient, perhaps on unemployment benefits or the age pension, you're looking at fewer than 1% of current rental listings being affordable. So what that's leading to is people in very unsuitable housing, people in very expensive housing, and people spending far, far more on housing than they should be.
Okay, so it sounds like this rental stress is a real problem for a lot of people in Australia. So take me back to why rents are increasing so quickly. Why is that happening?
Well, this is a really long-term problem, but it seems particularly difficult after the pandemic because more than 500,000 people left Australia during the pandemic. They went home to where they lived originally overseas. Now, you would think that would lead to some kind of rental nirvana where rents would drop and there would be plentiful properties for anyone who wanted them. Now, there were brief drops, but they have recovered and accelerated everywhere since then. And as ever with housing, there's never one reason or one solution, but there's a few that we can put our finger on. One is that a lot of people bought second houses, holiday houses or coastal houses, and took them out of the rental pool. The other is that many people briefly converted houses that had been used for short stay accommodation, things like Airbnb for tourists, converted them to longer accommodation when the lockdowns hit so that because there were no tourists, but they've now converted them back, so they're taking them out. But the larger impact is that for most of the past decade, there's been a gradual exit of investors. It's beginning too difficult. Low interest rates mean that negative gearing doesn't work as effectively to reduce your tax. People have been getting out. So quite simply, at the moment, around 20% of people who are selling houses are investors who are selling extra houses they don't live in. But only 8% of people who are buying them are investors who want to buy houses to then rent out. So the market is shrinking. A lot of factors, no single answer, but an ongoing crunch for people who are trying to find affordable housing.
Okay, but hang on there. So there's a few factors that you've mentioned, but one of the main ones seems to be that investors are selling their properties, then the people that are buying them are living in the properties rather than renting them out. But Dan, doesn't that mean that there are fewer people also needing to rent? Isn't that a good thing?
Potentially, but what's happening is that many of them are being used as second homes or holiday homes, so they're being taken out of the market. Overall, when you look at March, the data from the REA Group, one of the biggest real estate groups in Australia, found there's 130,000 total rental listings. Now, that's 25% less than the decade average, which is about 170,000. So there's just fewer properties available at the same time as we're again opening our borders and more people are coming back and competing for the same property.
Okay, Dan. So it seems from the picture you've painted, it's a pretty bleak scenario for many renters, particularly though those on lower incomes at the lower end of the market. So is there anything that can actually be done to alleviate this crisis?
It is interesting that at this election, both the major parties have made quite substantial promises around what's called social or affordable housing, both looking to build around between 20 and 30,000 of these homes funded in slightly different ways. That would certainly have an impact, although the current shortfall in that field is around 400,000 units of housing, way behind what's needed, but certainly a good start in starting to provide and getting back into the business of providing affordable housing.
Okay, so the policies from Labor and the Liberal Party are pretty similar. You know, it would boost affordable homes by about 30,000, but as you say, we need 400,000, so there's a rather large gap. So, Dan, I mean, is there any end in sight to these rental cost hikes for renters like Veronica that you mentioned? Can anything be done now?
Well, eventually prices hit a ceiling in that they just can't find people to pay them anymore. The issue is that because we lack a supply of affordable housing and it's so difficult to get, people are making really difficult choices and living in very poor conditions or paying way too much for housing than they need to. So this is a long, ongoing situation, one I think we can expect to hear more of no matter who wins government, because the problems will continue due to our lack of accessible, affordable housing.
Daniel Ziffer is a business reporter based in Melbourne. In a bid to beat the competition for rental properties, some tenants are said to be offering a year of rent up front to secure a place to live. This episode was produced by Flint Duxfield. Additional production by Sydney Peed and Chris Dengate, who also did the mix. Our supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. You can find all our episodes of the podcast on the ABC Listen app. To get in touch with the team, email us on abcnewsdaily@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.